This is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org. Let's continue with the second hour and change. Something I feel tonight, a delirium of...
delirium without the Tremaines.
Yes, exactly. No Tremaines.
Well, we had the Tremaines earlier, but that was just one.
Yes, the Tremaines of the day. And today is two of a kind, as you can tell. We've got two terrible... our sense of humor, when combined, could be a very lethal force in the world stage. That was the Golden Gate Orchestra, Adrian Rollini in there, of course, and all the other guys with Delirium, 1927.
1927, that's right.
And George Van Epps, T for Two, and I'm just—he always astonishes me.
Oh, me too.
George, what a player! Man, that was—I don't even know—did he have the seven stringer then, or was
he might have. I'm not sure. I think he did because I think I heard. I mean, I don't think is there any way that he can get those chords and not have a seven string?
I think it's black magic. I know how to play the guitar, but I mean, I try to figure out how he can do that. What he does both at once, just Van Epps, and he just kills me. So this is Radiola. This is the second hour segment. Although we've gone, we'll go probably much longer than that. Lucky you. Let's launch then right into our next set of recordings. The Mills Blue Rhythm Band, 1932.
This is the growl.
Yes, and that's people growling, wishing that I would shut up. and I'll let you talk more. That's probably what I should do. Anyway, here's the growl. Like Tarzan is in the building, but that's one of my favorite records of all time. I want that played at my funeral, and probably more by my people will be glad to see me gone. They can celebrate, but that's that's one of the ones I want played anyway. Jabbo Smith and his Rhythm Aces in 1929, and that what a and he, and
oh
I'm,
man
yes yes
oh, that's great. I don't know. I mean that's. To do that on a trumpet is that's hard. That's yeah, that's he's definitely something that just his whole style is just I would say that it differs slightly from Lewis, but
oh yes.
But definitely, it's just a shame that Jabbo Smith isn't more well known. But
or that he didn't take better care of himself.
That's true.
Well, he lived a long time, but he, most of that time he spent, just hanging around locally.
Right.
And there's a guy who was he had a meteoric rise and an equally meteoric fall.
Yeah.
And what a sound though! But he lived a long time and actually played later on. He did he did what he could, but.
He had a slight comeback, yeah.
Oh yes, and I think that's all we can hope for, any of us. So
even have a comeback is something good.
Yes, I know. Most of us, what was it? Fitzgerald said, "American lives don't have second acts." Well,
that's right.
I feel like mine is like a one pager. So before that, Joe Venuti and Russ Morgan on the piano with Red Velvet, very beautiful, lovely stuff.
Yeah,
and Russ Morgan not with his band, but just for the piano there. Just gorgeous, gorgeous recording. And beginning with the Mills Blue Rhythm Band and the Growl from 1932.
Yeah, that's right. That was Henry Red Allen on trumpet, probably. And I can't remember who else was on that. But they were all fantastic musicians that were used at various times by Irving Mills.
Yeah, Irving was he had it sewn up, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He had Duke Ellington. He had Cad Calloway.
Yeah.
He was he ran the whole thing there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hotsy Totsy Boys.
That's right.
Yeah, so you couldn't really go anywhere without it running into Irving Mills, claiming authorship of everything.
He wrote virtually all of Duke Ellington's tunes. At least he's listed on a lot of the early stuff.
Yes, and that's my theory. He actually wrote those songs. Duke couldn't write anything.
Right, right, right.
Irving was the genius there. well, here are a bunch of guys from 1923. We're going to go way back to acoustic years now with the original Memphis Five.
Yeah.
And Last Night on the Back Porch. Now, is Phil Napoleon would be in here?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Phil Napoleon and also I believe Jimmy Lytle. I think,
as you would expect,
right?
Wonderful players. Yeah. Well, Neff Mall, I think, was in a lot of these sessions.
I don't know
if he was here, but was he? Do you think he was on?
I'm not sure.
We don't have any of the liner notes with us, so we're just winging it here tonight.
He very well could be, but I'm sure someone who is scholarly. Not to say that we are not scholarly.
Bill Shapp, where are you?
We need you, Mr. Shapp.
Yes, for a few words. And
please ship something to us, Mr. Shapp.
Yes, indeed. That was federally, Federal Express works, or any of those. But as far as the reason why a lot of these things are trumpet centric is because you're a cornet player, and a trumpeter.
I try to be,
Yes, and we'll have to work together.
Yeah,
and you can listen to my piano playing, and maybe we can. That's my ulterior motive here, not just this radio stuff, which is basically there. But I appreciate the fact somebody knows how to play an instrument that isn't made out of plastic.
Thank you.
Yes, isn't that nice? It's actually brass. It's good.
Yeah.
So let's try the original Muppets 5 then with Last Night at the Back Porch, on the back porch. Well, you know what happens there.
Yeah, it's cold out there too.
Yes, you don't want to spend too long out there.
No. Make it a quick one.
Of course. Here we go.
Thank you.
Yes, you can talk.
Good.
I'll let you talk.
Well, that was Joe Robichaux, and that was Foot Scuffle from 1933. And before that, let's see. What did we hear?
Something about being on the back porch too long and having, bodily parts endangered.
Right.
But Frostbite
right.
It was the original
Frostbite on the back porch, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Original Muppets 5, 1923. Joe Robichaux, as we just discussed, is very interesting. His piano playing there had a real Earl Hines influence. I don't know if he was influenced by Earl Hines or what, but it does seem to indicate that he must have heard Father play on occasion, and it's just what a sound that is. This is Radiola, and you're listening to a lot of two gabby guys here in the studio tonight, which is okay because we're having fun and we're running over, but nobody's in the way, so we're fine. But this is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org. I'm Andy Senior here with Christopher Walters. Chris Walters is a local musician who has astonishingly, or perhaps alarmingly, almost my taste in music. So I thought we would gang up on you tonight with our own with Chris's playlist, which is a wonderful playlist. And we're going to veer now into something a little later.
Yeah.
But it's within the same realm. It's jazz, and it pertains to the music because Chris is a trumpeter and he loves every aspect of jazz. But we've have a couple of things here from the 1950s. I think is Hackett from the 50s too?
Well, the Hackett thing is from 1944.
Okay, so
43.
Okay, so anything after, right. So we're out of the water anyway.
Yeah.
We might as well just go on to land here. So here's starting out with Matty Matlock, the Duke of Patrol, in the 50s.
This is a great, great record. Oh, this is beautiful. And once again, George Van Epps is on this thing. Matty Matlock on clarinet, a guy that is, it was and is very talented. He was an arranger, did a lot of arranging for Bob Crosby, Bing's younger brother, and just a great, great musician. He was on the soundtrack to Pete Kelly's Blues. He was on that, and I think Dick Cathcart is on cornet on this. Eddie Miller, I believe, is on tenor or baritone, I think. But it's a great record, and it's very tasty.
Well, we're gonna take a bite out of this now. This is Lazy River.
Right.
Yes, I'm gonna float down that Lazy River too. It's pretty inviting. Thank you. Love that record. That's one. That was when we had to get Bobby Hack in. However, we could. You know, we had to smuggle him in under our coats, but here he is.
Yeah.
Bobby Hackett. He's your favorite, isn't he?
He is. He's the light that guides me. If any light could, I don't know. But he's just an amazing cornetist and trumpeter as well. He did play trumpet. Anybody that knows me knows that my love and devotion and respect and admiration for Bobby Hackett is just I've got a handful of aces for him.
Yes, and I think he could have used a couple there at
different
points of his life.
Yeah, he sure could.
But what a sound that man had, and I agree with you that cornet sound is distinctive.
Oh yeah,
and trumpet's a beautiful instrument, but it's
yes.
But he really, you can always tell when somebody's playing a cornet.
Oh yeah,
and what a glorious sound he plays there.
Very buoyant. I mean, he doesn't play high notes, even though he could. I mean, I have recordings of him going up to high F above high C, and he doesn't do it very often, but I mean, if it's written, he'll do it, or if he feels the need to, which he seldom ever did. He's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful musician.
And he played the guitar too.
He did.
So we both can appreciate him for in our respective fields of endeavor. But yes, he was just you're right. I've underappreciated him my whole life, but Bobby Hackett is amazing. Matty Matlock, before that, we talked about him.
That's right.
Lazy River from the 1950s.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go back into the usual realm of this show with, although we're going to veer once more. Don't worry. We're going to veer occasionally. But one more time. But here's back to 1925 with Ben Selvin and his orchestra. Breezing along, this is. Any words about this?
it's a great record, I guess the music would speak for itself, I guess.
Yes, and many people are saying right now they wish it would. Here we go. Thank you. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, isn't it?
And that was...
That was Sutton Mutton.
Yes.
Carl Kress.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, and I just mentioned this to you.
Yeah.
We're doing our show off air as well as on air. But I said, it's amazing the sound. I don't really think of Carl Kress that often.
Mm.
But the fact that he played with such adventurousness in his playing and such beauty makes me wonder what Eddie Lang would have done if he had lived beyond his short allotted span.
Yeah.
And he just was that.
If only he didn't go to the hospital to have a tonsillectomy.
I know. You never have a tonsillectomy.
No.
You don't need one.
No.
Or, you know, and you know, I had a or an appendectomy, although that's what my doctor I'll tell you that story later when it's not clean.
Ah.
Don't worry. But don't go in front of the operation unless you really need it.
Right.
That's our medical advice to you. This is the medical show, by the way. No, it's Radiola, and I'm Andy Senior with Chris Walters here. And I'll mention the call letters in a minute because we're getting to that time. We're going to run over about 15 minutes, so don't worry about it. Just relax. If you've got nothing else to do, we'll be here for another few minutes. And if not, just check us out on Live 365, where this show is immediately headed. So you can, I'm not going to edit any of these comments, so you can relive them again in all their glorious inanity. So
and all the wittering too.
Well, the wittering, you know, there's a wittering. You know, I almost got fined for that the other day.
Yeah?
Yes, I was wittering, and there's a fine. They had a sign and everything. They made me clean it all up and go down the road.
Wittering in public.
No wittering. Yeah. You know, it's true. There's signs all over.
Yeah.
Before that, Gene Goldcat and his orchestra. That's Just My Way of Forgetting You.
Yeah.
Great arrangement there. No, even though it's a later Goldcat group, it's amazing what a good sound
that
is.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, of course, people, when they, sometimes when they... when they want to play some Gene Goldcat, they play something with Bix. It's just an automatic thing. But I decided to choose something that ordinarily wouldn't be chosen. So I picked
good
that one.
Good choice.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's so many good recordings that you just because it doesn't have Bix on it or it doesn't have such and such or whatever.
Yeah.
Bix didn't make every good record in the world.
No.
Just a lot of them, but not everyone.
Right.
And we began with Ben Sullivan, Breezing Along from 1925.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm breezing along, too, as you can tell by the hot air in here coming from my...
I thought it was the lights.
Well, the lights, too.
Yeah.
That makes it a deadly combination. So
good thing I'm kind of short.
Well, true. Exactly. I'll parse
that out. I'm not going to say short on what, but...
Well, I know. We're all short. I'm short on intellect some days. But continuing now, this is, by the way, I'm gonna give the call sign now. This is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, in Clinton, New York, which is near Utica, in case you're wondering, and at beautiful Hamilton College. And the kids are back, and I'm back, too, and I'm no kid, although you couldn't tell it by my attitude. And we're going to hear it right now. We're going to play Teddy Wilson with Billie Holiday in 1937.
This is Fooling Myself.
You picked this because it's sort of one that not everybody picks all the time.
That's right. That's right. And my main reason for picking this is just so I can hear that beautiful, beautiful tenor of Lester Young.
Yes.
And what more needs to be said?
That was the first black president.
That's true. That's
yes, indeed.
True. He will always be the prez.
Yes, indeed. All the others are. I'm not going to say anything. I'll get in trouble. But, Lester Young was prez.
Yes.
Well, no doubt about that.
Yes, he was.
Unelected though he was.
Right.
By acclaim, he was definitely that. Here he is with Teddy Wilson and Lady Day.
the whole affair, but they all know it isn't so. I'm just fooling myself, and every time I pass and see myself in the looking glass, I tip my hat and say, how do, you fool? You're throwing your life away. I'm acting gay, I'm acting proud. And every time I see you in a crowd, I may pretend, but in the end, I'm just fooling myself. Thank you.
Joyous.
Yes, and joyous. That's a special dedication, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. That's dedicated to my grandparents, who hopefully haven't turned on the evening news or turned on the History Channel or something like that. They're still listening. That's dedicated to them. They've been married 63 years this past November, and that's dedicated to them. That was Billy Butterfield from 46, maybe 45, 46, somewhere along in there.
I have 45, but 46 mm-hmm. may be equally correct. There's a lot of guesswork involved here, as you could probably tell.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all guessing here.
That's right. That was They Can't Take That Away From Me. And let's see, before that we heard from Pee Wee Russell in what would be his last studio recording from 1967. That was Jada. And definitely an individualist on his instrument. There, as you and I were talking, Andy, yeah, there's people that might disparage Pee-wee for having some technical deficiencies, but whatever he did manage to display, definitely. Oh boy!
Well, there's miles of soul in there. There's more soul in there than
that's right.
And that's the thing. And with people we both know, we've said things, but I agree with you. And it's true. You can't fake that.
No.
I mean, even people who are technically proficient can have miles of soul. But,
right.
But Pee Wee Russell definitely had every accolade, whatever was going on with him, or whether he was not as practiced as some, he was
right.
he poured it all out there, and especially there.
Oh yeah.
That is a beautiful performance. Probably the most modern thing I'll play. arrangement wise, but it's just gorgeous playing from him, and then and then Billy and Teddy and fooling
and,
myself.
Yeah, that was Jonah Jones on the trumpet. Jonah Jones, as we all know, played with Cab Calloway and sat next to some guy Gillespie, I think his name.
Oh, that
was.
Guy.
Yeah.
I told you the dirty story about Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah.
If I said it, if I told anybody on the air, I'd get taken off. So I won't. I'll just let you all imagine what's the worst thing that Dizzy Gillespie could have done, and it's about what it is. Anyway, well, let's say the most flamboyant thing he could have done.
Yeah.
That's because we can't judge artists. Have our sliding scale of existential. acceptance of whatever they do. It's a, situational ethics and all that stuff.
That's right.
And speaking of situational ethics, you've been listening for the past hour and nearly, about 14 minutes to Radiola. I'm Andy Senior. I've had Chris Walters, and we've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
We've been talking an extra 13 minutes worth, basically, and enjoying ourselves much more than we should have been allowed to by law. I think the FCC is going to look into it, but I just have had a wonderful time with you here, Chris. It's just great to actually find somebody, and as I say, you can take over for me next.
No, maybe not.
I don't know. I'll have to familiarize you with all the deficiencies that occur around here, but it still is a lot of fun, and this is just an amazing playlist. I'm going to frame it when I get home.
Well, I'm going to frame it too. I'm just not going to tell you where I'm going to put it.
Well, I know. The smallest room of the house?
That's right.
I know.
It'll go in the bathroom.
Well, that's the smallest room in most people's.
That's right.
Unless they've got a special little chamber other than whatever. But I was just using euphemisms, but my doctor's telling me to cut it out. We're just having fun here. And besides which, we've already run over. Nobody's coming on.
Right.
So we can just let this thing coast to a halt here.
Well, I know some wonderful poetry. I mean, it would take longer than a minute, but I don't suppose we better do that, shall we?
No, I think we're gonna finish. This is basically a music show. It's all about the music, man.
That's right.
And I'm
let's make what a music, kids.
Yes, not a music man in 76 trombones, but it's all about the music, comma man. And we're just trying to enjoy it, despite our rhapsodizing about these various performances. And I'm just glad that we were able to get this on the air. Cause,
me too.
That's time. We
did
it.
Yeah.
But we got a couple of more things, and we will, of course, remain silent during those. Spike Hughes and his The label says Spike Hughes and his Negro Orchestra,
yes,
which was led by British bandleader Spike Hughes, mostly American musicians,
that's
all American
right.
musicians, I believe.
Yep.
In 1933 with yep. Pastorelle.
Pastorelle.
And then our special goodnight song after that. But here's Spike Hughes.
Thank you. about an hour ago, and it's gone right to my head. Wherever I may roam, on land or sea or foam, you can always hear me singing this song. Show me the way to go home.
This is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, in Clinton, New York, at beautiful Hamilton College. And thank you so much for listening tonight.
Yes, thank you very much. And this is hopefully more proof that you don't have to have a college education to be articulate.
I think, well, you prove that, but I don't. I think you do, but I don't. That's what I'll. That's let's say 50% of us in this room are articulate, and guess who that is?
Yeah.